I just wanted to say something just before I start. There's been just some wonderful words, some rich encouragements this morning. And I want to encourage, I feel it might be for someone in particular, actually. I was out walking the other day, and I was just in this really beautiful place that the trees had made a tunnel, and it had been raining, so it was really muddy. And as I came into this place, I just stopped, and it was all these squirrels, and they were busy, and they were they were eating the nuts that were in the trees. And then I realised that what I was actually doing was I wasn't walking on mud; I was walking on nuts. And I thought, wow, that is a strange experience. And I just said, okay, Lord, let's speak to me about this. And I just felt the Lord saying that there's a richness. I don't want you to be walking in mud when you're with me. I want you to be walking on fruit. I want you to be walking on nuts, the word of life. And I just feel that there's somebody here that has been struggling through mud. And the Lord just wants to say to you that in my kingdom, on my path, it's rich and it's beautiful. And I want you to just come into that place and just see the beauty around you that's from me. And just look down on your feet and see that there's so much abundance that you're even walking on it. And so I want somebody here to be encouraged by that, and just to realize that life in God's kingdom is a kingdom of riches and of life. Okay, so that's not what I've got to share today. That's just for somebody here, and I would love to pray with you if you feel that is you. Okay, can you open your Bibles at Matthew 5, please? We're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount a bit more. Pete started us off the other day, and I was a bit in awe, really. I love Pete's preaching. Because it is such a massive subject. I mean, this has got to be the greatest sermon ever preached, right? And this is Jesus standing on a dusty hilltop outside of Jerusalem, just bringing this truth that really... And so much in here. I was sort of overwhelmed by it, really. And I've struggled putting this together because there's so much. I could preach on it for weeks and weeks and weeks, I think, just taking one little line of what Jesus says and expounding on it, because it's so rich. It's so rich. So I'm going to do this morning is try and break down some of the verses from Matthew 5 and just draw some points out of them. And I would love for you to just to be able to take away some of the treasure that's here. As I said, I believe this to be the greatest sermon ever preached, and I'm not attempting to improve it. I'm just going to try and draw your attention to some parts of it. I feel a little bit that it's almost a part two of the last time I preached. I shared with you a few weeks ago about inherited blessings, and in a way, actually, it ties in really beautifully with that, in the fact that this is all about our inheritance, really, as being in the kingdom of God. So, as a lot of you know, I work in the world of the super rich. I make furniture for people who have more money than they know what to do with. They employ people to spend their money for them. It's you can see them in Hello magazine and on the telly. These kinds of people. These are the kinds of people that I get to make furniture for, which is a bit of an honour. But it does give you an interesting insight into the slightly messy lives. And they want their Kensington mansion to be better than than the one next door, or they want their super yacht to be a great display of their wealth and bigger and better than anybody else's. So I'm not saying that it's wrong to be rich. It's what we do with it that's important, and I'm very aware of the fact that I'm British and I live in the West, and because I own my own house, I'm probably in the top 5% of the richest people in the world. So I'm kind of probably standing up here saying, well, I'm probably one of the super rich myself. But the point is Jesus was speaking to people that had absolutely nothing, and his point was that really that worldly riches have no value. But his point was that in actual fact, these people that have nothing could be the happiest on earth. And that is the point of the Beatitudes. So they and we can be the rich ones. We can be the happy ones. And he uses a word, the word, if you look in, so we're in verses 2 to 8, I'm going to be doing this morning. And he uses the word blessed, and we've heard it many times before, and it's actually a Greek word. I'm not going to get all technical on you, but it does paint a picture. So it's a word, makarios, and the wonderful thing about the Greek language is that it has they have many different types of happiness and of joy, and so they have all these different words that describe different types of joy and happiness. And this word makarios actually talks about it was actually used for the Greek gods. Actually, it meant that you were blessed in your lifestyle, in your inheritance, and that you were actually happy because you had an inheritance. And it's not a happiness because of you've been given something, so therefore that makes you happy. It's a happiness that comes a deep that you. Or if you're aligned to the throne, you already know that you have it because you have already inherited it. And so I guess you can see where I'm going to be going with this, because I'm going to be talking about our inheritance in Christ. And we use a word nowadays that kind of takes some of this into consideration. It's called well-being, isn't it? And although well-being is not a great word for this, but this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. A peace, and it's about having a purpose, and it's about much more than a superficial happiness. So it, as I said, we don't preach a prosperity gospel here. Jesus is using a material picture to paint a spiritual picture. And his message is for the materially poor and for the spiritually poor as well. It's a good news message for the poor and the broken and the needy. And the message is that most broken people can, in actual fact, be raised and seated with Jesus on high, which is an amazing, amazing inheritance. But I just want to sort of prepare you, really, because Jesus has a way of touching a nerve. And there'll be a few things I draw out here that maybe I hope will challenge you, actually. And we're all family here, aren't we? And we're all tough. And I think we can probably take it. And my prayer really is that the Lord's going to pierce your heart this morning and stir you up. And the Bible is talked about being, it says in Thessalonians that it divides bone and marrow. You know, it's a two-edged sword. And my prayer is that there'll be something in here that will touch you very deeply this morning. So, Matt, can you get... What I've tried to do is actually break the I'll just read through that whole passage first, verses 5 to 8. Okay, so Jesus began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I just want to pray again, really, because this morning we've done a lot of Lord, we've had a tough week, and Lord, we just want to look at you. We want to look at you, Jesus, to be able to picture you on that dusty hillside. People here get a sense of awe at you, Jesus, this morning. Come, Lord Jesus, heal yourself afresh this morning as we look at your word, in Jesus' name. Okay, so question is, so what do the blessed look like? So these are the happy ones, the inherited ones, the ones who have inherited. Verse then, so blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is saying this, these words here, and this is us. Okay, so poor and spiritually needy. I think we are people that see the world differently. And maybe if you're visiting this morning, I would ask you to sort of consider some of these things and ask the question, that comes as the kingdom of God. So what is it to be poor in spirit then? We can have, as I said earlier, I work in the world of the super rich. You can have all the riches in the world, but it doesn't bring you happiness. I think we all really know that, don't we? But you can be worldly rich, but desperately unhappy. But Jesus is talking here about our spiritual health, depression, brokenness, poor life choices. And maybe you know people like this, and maybe you think, this is me here. I'm poor. And really, we are all poor in spirit, in a way, in comparison to God's amazing holiness. We're a million miles away. So how is it that we're the happy ones? It's about viewing the world through the lens of this, isn't it? As Harry was sharing earlier, these promises that are ours. If we view the world through this, this is how we are the blessed ones. We are the happy ones. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Okay. Next verse then. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay, so this is pain, heartbreak, grief. I've never actually lost anyone that's really close to me. So for me to speak about true, deep grief, I have to appeal maybe to others to be able to describe what that might be like. And I think when we go through these situations in our life, this is when we need to turn to this. We can ask why, Lord, why? And we don't necessarily understand, do we? But what I would say is that the Lord uses these things to test us and to prune us. And if you allow God to sharpen you through these painful experiences, it can bring God glory. And I would challenge you, I wonder whether you're allowing God to prepare you for something bigger. Maybe you're going through a tough time. And so I would invite you to say, God, what have you for me in this? In this pain, what have you for me that could bring you glory? I've turned to this book before. John Piper is a wise man, and I've turned to him before for advice and good words. And I'd just like to read you just a few verses from his book, Spectacular Sins, which he really shows God's that Maria is picking up really on that. Hand in world situations, in our political situations, in our and our grief, and he through these and showing. Could you just read you some of these words from the introduction? Is the glory of his grace, treating people infinitely better than they deserve, giving himself for the everlasting joy of the worst of sinners who will have him as their highest treasure, and the apex at Jerusalem, AD 33, was murder. It was the most spectacular sin ever committed. At the all-important pivot of human history, the worst sin ever committed served to show greatest glory, green gift, grace. God did not just overcome evil at the cross, it evil, the overcoming of evil. He made evil commit suicide by its worst evil. Evil is anything and everything opposed to the fullest display of the glory of Christ. That's the meaning of evil. In the death of Christ, the powers of darkness. This is the apex of evil. But instead, they found themselves quoting the script of ancient prophecy, but assigned by God. Precisely in Christ to death, they put his glory on display, the very glory that they aim to destroy. The apex will achieve the apex glory, the glory of grace. Isn't that? He describes it so beautifully. You see this and the force of it, the way you look at it, the way that you look at the world changes. I am writing this coming that are coming will demand from the followers of Christ this change in the way we look at the world. It seems to me as in the West are being called. We suffer little in the name of Christ. Therefore, we read the Bible not with desperate hunger for evidences of God's triumph in pain, but with a view to improving our private pleasures. It's quite challenging, isn't it? You know, really, really challenging. I'd encourage you to read that book, actually, because he's not divorced from pain. He's a pastor who serves with real people, and he serves with people in his congregation that have died. And he brings the sovereignty of God into the worst situations. And really, I just want to point out I would encourage you to seek God's glory in it. And I would challenge you to apply God's word to our life situations and see how he is preparing his people for what is to come. Because there is a cost to following Jesus. The grace is freely given, but there is a cost. There's a worldly cost. And I want to talk about repentance. I wonder whether we do repentance enough. And John the Baptist said an interesting thing. He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is Luke 3. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance and do not begin to yourselves. We have Abraham as our father. Now, he was speaking directly to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And really, it's a don't get complacent, guys. You've got an amazing inheritance. But unless you keep yourself sharp, you could fall off the cliff. And John was talking to us last week about life in the Spirit from Galatians. Was it Galatians? Galatians, life in the Spirit. And about how we have to keep in step each day. And the Bible says we need to be filled with, don't get drunk on wine, instead be filled with the Spirit. And that word, be filled with the Spirit, is not just being filled. Being filled every day we need to say, Jesus, fill me today. I don't feel like it, Lord. I don't feel like going into work today. Fill me with your Spirit. And being open to him and being ready to say, sorry, Lord, I slipped up there, and being naked in front of him, really. And there's a true mourning, I think, in over our sin that we need to do and that we need to deal with. And I would say to you, if you haven't ever done that before, in your room at home, I would implore you, really, to get on your knees and say, Lord, I am sorry. I want you in my life. And I want you to fill me, and I want to follow you. Next slide, Matt. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I think we can sometimes get weak and meek in a muddle. And I think in our society particularly, it's really uncool to be meek. In being humble, actually. And I think there's an amazing, well, I know there is, I don't think it, I know there is. There's this promise here, isn't there? That there is an promised inheritance for those that can truly be humble before mighty God. There's a bow of the head, there's a recognition of who God is. For all heavens declare the glory of the risen Lord. I wonder whether you've gone out on a starry night and said, God, wow. There's a verse in Isaiah 66, verse 2. It says, these are the ones I look on with favour, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. I wonder whether when you open this up in the morning, you tremble because you're in the presence of a king. we have no comprehension of who God is, then we just lose our perspective, don't we? We lose our perspective on the world, really. And do we really understand who we're dealing with? Don't lose a sense of awe. Allow the Lord to speak deeply to you, because your inheritance is the earth. The Lord says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I think the Lord is talking about a spiritual inheritance too. There's a spiritual land. There's a physical picture for the old Jewish people of going into the promised land, and that is a picture of our inheritance in Jesus in heaven. That's a promised land. And in Ephesians 1, verses 13 to 14, it talks about Holy Spirit being our inheritance. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is our inheritance. Okay. Are those who hunger and thirst righteousness, for they will be filled. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for God? I mentioned right at the beginning about satisfaction and purpose of mission. Do you hunger? Do you pick this up and you thirst for it? The thought of someone eating it, eat it, eat it. Fill your mind with it. Remember it. Psalm 42 describes a deer in the desert. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my... I'll start again. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. It's not talking about a hobby or a common interest club here. We're talking about a thirst. We're talking about a hunger. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Because if you do, you will be filled. There's a promise there too. I urge you to drink deeply. Isaiah 12, verse 3 says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's a beautiful picture of the depth of salvation, of the depths of God's joy, of the depths of the satisfaction, of the depths of the purpose of being in the kingdom of God. And the next slide up, Matt. I'm going to have to speed up. So I need to get to the end. Okay. Are you all with me so far? Okay. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be in mercy. God's mercy was Jesus on the cross, is Jesus on the cross. A bloody, cruel death on the cross. God's mercy frees us permanently. Jesus said, it is finished. If you want things, they are yours for free. And as I said earlier, it's a free gift. Although there is a cost to following him. But the promise is that he will sanctify you, literally make you a saint, because he will make you pure by his blood. And that's a promise. And as we receive God's forgiveness for the things that we've done, we learn in turn to forgive. And Jesus said, when he was asked how many times to forgive, he said, 70 times 7. Forgive, forgive. And there's a promise there, for they will be shown mercy. And I would urge you, if you struggle with forgiveness in your heart, to come before mighty God and allow his forgiveness to flow. And in turn, you find yourself being freed, and you say, Lord, I forgive, I forgive. and he will deal with you deeply, I promise. Blessed are the pure in heart, God. Our future is with God. When you read through the Old Testament scriptures, people feared seeing God, actually laying their eyes on God. And when Moses was up the mountain in Exodus, Jesus, God, it may well have been Jesus, pushed him into a cleft so that he couldn't see his glory. But we have Jesus. It says in Colossians that he is the image of the invisible God. We can see Jesus, and one day we will see Jesus. This is a promise for those who truly seek that righteousness, pure in heart. We're pure because we've been made pure by his blood on the cross. We will one day see him face to face. We need to be the people who take these things and claim them for ourselves. And we need to be the people who, like John Piper was encouraging us to do, to see the world differently. Okay, can you just go to the last slide, please? We've got just time to go through this. I'm sorry it's not bigger. This is as big as I could get. So I'd encourage you to open your Bibles if you have them with you or on your phone, and look up 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. And I just want to sort of prayerfully just go through this scripture, really, because if you imagine Peter was a man who walked and talked with Jesus, and when he writes his letters in, and you can find them in the back of the Bible, you get a sense that he picked up those truths from Jesus. I need one of those pointers, actually, because I need to... Have you got one? Have we? And then I'll just talk you through it. I just want to say, really, that as we've talked about that blessedness, that this is not a flippant thing. This is not a sort of silly happiness. This is not a rather flaky well-being. Oh, your star, thank you. Okay, wonderful, right. I want you to just pick up a sense of the deepness and the truth of what Jesus is saying here about the purpose. And it's not even a grim-faced determination either. It's a way of knowing these things so deeply in our hearts that it gives us that ability to do each day and to love him and to look at him and to feast on his word with a purpose and a satisfaction and a joy that is good. Now, the joy that's mentioned in this passage here, okay, I'll try not to stand, but I'm going to be standing in someone's way, whatever. Yeah. Joy. Now, the joy here is actually a word that comes from kara. It's more to do with charisma, and it's all to do where our word from character comes from. But it's really a sort of a flowing out of that purpose and of that satisfaction and of that blessedness that Jesus is talking about in Matthew. Okay, so I want to work prayerfully through this, okay? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy, okay? I'm just going to go back to my notes here. See. blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And we look to his mercy. He has given us new birth into a living hope. Wow. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that we can have this. Because Jesus, before he died, Jesus was a man, but he was God. But through his resurrection, he showed the world, and he shows us now, that he was who he said he was, and he is, and he's. And into an inheritance, okay? So risen from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Wow. And all the way through there, in the Beatitudes, he's talking about inheritance. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is our inheritance, folks. It's really, really good. Wow. Wow. Okay. Love it. Okay, this inheritance is kept. Last time. Jesus is coming back, guys. Jesus is coming back. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Okay, we've been talking about this joy that is from the word kara, that overflowing of being blessed, and that joy that overflows from the purpose and the satisfaction in life. Okay, we greatly rejoice. The truth, those truths that Harry read to us, we know it. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds. Okay, we talked about this grief, and I talked about the reality of some of the things that we have to go through. I know that men and women here have lost loved ones, and we know people who have lost loved ones, and the pain of that. And even though we have had to suffer that, and we don't get persecuted for our faith here, maybe, but many do, and maybe there's going to come a time when we will have to stand up for our faith. It's getting harder and harder, and maybe in our lifetime we will be locked up for what we believe and what we stand up for. Okay, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, okay, that the proven genuineness, all the truth that's in here, will it stand up in that time of testing? Will it be the thing you turn to in a time of testing? Of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, and that it may result in the praise, glory, and honour when Jesus is revealed. I talked a bit about this. These painful trials and these things, how we can cause them or help them to bring God glory, and about how God's sovereignty brings himself glory through our trials if we let him. Faith, the salvation of your souls. Okay, I'm just going to end in a prayer. Lord, I just thank you for the truth that you spoke on that mountainside all those years ago, and that the relevance of it for our everyday lives. Lord Jesus, we want to look at you. I want to just picture you there on that dusty hillside, Lord Jesus, because we may not have seen you in all your glory yet, but one day, Lord, we will see you we will see you in all your glory. And Lord, I just really want to pray for each person in here that they will feast on your word, and that the hunger for your word will, as you promise, they will be filled, and that they will be satisfied, and that as they thirst like a deer in the desert, they will be satisfied, and that they will have a purpose and feel your calling, hear your calling, Lord Jesus. And then that promise of the inexpressible joy to be able to live each day in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for your blessing on each person in this room. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not yet turned to you, that they might hear that call this morning, and just in a quiet moment turn and say, Lord, I need you. I need that. I need that happiness. I need that peace. I need that. I need that in my life, Lord. And that if it means that I've got to bow the knee before you and say, sorry, sorry, God, sorry, sorry. Fill my life. I want to follow you, the great King, great awesome King, the Creator who flung stars into space and who died and shed his blood for me. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray for your blessing and your anointing on these people here now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Phil. We're going to draw the meeting to a close there, but please do feel free to join us for tea and coffee afterwards. If you are sick, or if something that Phil has spoken about really spoke to you and you feel like you need more prayer for it, then please go to over near the banner over there, where there'll be a prayer team. They'll be wearing green badges and they'll be more than happy to pray for you. Thank you very much, and we will see you next week.